The Christmas season is full of all kinds of surprises. Secret Santas surprise us with fun gifts. Friends surprise us with plates of cookies and other sweet things. And we wrap up our gifts in colorful wrapping paper so that our loved ones will be surprised by what we give them. But not all surprises are good. Some surprises startle us. They may even stir up fear. And when that group of shepherds who lived near Bethlehem were visited by the angel of the Lord, they were terrified. It was a scary surprise for them. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, sharing the good news of Jesus' birth led to singing. The angels praised God. They said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." You know, that good news is worth singing about. And it has inspired many others to sing about what God has done through Jesus Christ. It inspired, for example, George Frederick Handel to write what has become one of the most well-known choral works sung around the world. Handel's Messiah, as it's called, is a Christmas favorite. And it contains, I think, one of the most majestic-sounding Christmas songs, and for unto us a child is born. The lyrics of that song are taken from Isaiah chapter 9. And they go, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, those are some of the names we know Jesus by, but there are other names like Lord, Savior, Messiah, and King of Kings. And all of these names remind us in a way that Jesus comes from really good stock. In fact, the Bible provides a detailed list of Jesus' ancestors. We have one list in Matthew and another list in Luke. And within these lists, we find some incredible people. We also find some surprises. Of course, when we're reading the Christmas story in either one of these Gospels, we may be tempted to skip over these lists of names because it may seem like trivial information to us. But the Gospel writers included these lists of names to help us make important connections. And there are two that both Gospel writers want us to see. Both Matthew and Luke agree that Jesus descended from Abraham and from David. Now, why is that important? Well, with Abraham, we are reminded of God's original promise that the Lord would bless all the nations of the world through Abraham's descendants. And that cues us in on what Jesus would do with his life. And with David, we're reminded that Jesus comes from royal blood. David was a benevolent king who looked after his people. And Jesus does the same. Now, these genealogies do give us a clue as to the kind of person that Jesus would become. And each help us see some different things. Luke's list, for example, which is found in chapter 3, starts with the present, and then it works its way back all the way to the beginning. It tells us that Jesus is the son of Joseph, then the son of Abraham, then the son of Adam, and then finally the son of God. And so in a way, this tells us that Jesus' birth will really mark a new beginning for humankind. Jesus will reflect the image of God in a way that no other person has ever done. Jesus will reflect the image of God in everything that he will do and everything he will say. And this understanding is reinforced by the verse that comes just before Luke's list of Jesus' ancestors. In Luke 3:22, a voice from heaven is heard saying, "This, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Now, Matthew's genealogy of Jesus works in the opposite direction as Luke's. It begins in the distant past and works its way to the present. And this list is the one that's really full of surprises. What stands out the most is that it includes five women. This is really surprising because people in the ancient world thought men were the ones who carried the seeds of life. They didn't know women carried eggs. And so lists of ancestors generally focused on the men. And for this reason, it's really surprising that Matthew included women in Jesus' genealogy. And it's even more surprising when you look at the women that are listed. Now, the first woman listed is Tamar, and she once posed as a prostitute in a web of sexual intrigue. Then there's Rahab, who was a Gentile from Jericho, and she was a prostitute. And then there's another Gentile in this list. It's Ruth, and she entered into this sexual liaison with a Jew named Boaz. Bathsheba's also included, and she's known for her adulterous affair with King David. And then finally, there's Mary, who was an unwed, pregnant teenager. These are not the kind of women you'd expect to find in an ancient family tree. But the Bible lists these ancestors of Jesus to clue us in on the fact that God does work in unexpected, surprising ways. Some of Jesus' ancestors were far from perfect. Some of them were broken. Some were involved in scandals. And some weren't even Jewish. But the point of all of this is to show us that Jesus came from a messy family that was made up of all kinds of people. It was made up of Jews and Gentiles, broken and crazy people, as well as royalty, heroes, and just normal folks. Now, people didn't expect the Messiah to come out of a messy situation like this. It surprised them. And more surprises came surrounding the events of Jesus' birth. We see it with Mary getting the news from an angel that she would have a baby, and that baby would be the Savior of the world. And the surprises continued with the shepherds when they were surprised by a visit from an angel from the Lord. Now, these shepherds, like their fellow Jews, had been waiting and hoping for a Messiah to be born who would save them. This was something that generations had prayed for and waited for. And they were expecting the arrival of the Messiah to come with great pomp and circumstance. And yet when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was no grand celebration. There's no hoopla surrounding it. Jesus was just born in a dirty, smelly barn surrounded by animals. This wasn't how Mary and Joseph imagined the birth of their son, the one whom the angels told them would be the Messiah and the Savior of their people. It really is shocking that the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace would be born in this way. It's just not what people were expecting. Now, all of these surprises help us see that the work of God's grace and mercy is really a grassroots effort that started at the bottom and works its way up. And this is embodied in the story of the shepherds. See, along with Mary and Joseph, these shepherds had a front row seat to welcome Jesus into the world. And these down-to-earth people were the first ones to hear the angel announce the good news of his birth. Now, this is surprising because God could have announced the birth of his son in a million other ways. And God could have found more effective ways to communicate this good news. And sometimes I do wonder why God didn't choose to share this biggest news ever with the kings and the emperors of the world, people who had power, influence, and resources to share that news with every tribe and nation. But God didn't do this. God sent an angel to a group of lowly shepherds and shared the good news of the birth of the Messiah. Now, we don't have many details as to what happened next. I do imagine that after the shepherds got over the shock and over the fear they had, they joined the angels in offering their praise. The Bible tells us that the shepherds then left their fields, they left their sheep, they left their responsibilities, and they went with haste to see the baby, the one whom they recognized as the Messiah. And they were so amazed and changed by what they experienced that they told everyone they could the story of Jesus' birth. And perhaps one of the biggest surprises was how far this news spread. It made it all the way to King Herod. Now, kings generally weren't listening to what shepherds had to say. Shepherds were down at the bottom. They were the lowest of the lower class. They were dirt poor, and no one expected much out of them. In fact, they were overlooked and relegated to the margins of society. In many ways, they're just like Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary, all of whom felt like they were on the margins of life. Now, shepherds weren't the kind of people who had many options in life. They didn't have power, money, or privilege. And people higher up on the social ladder often looked down on them and saw them as unimportant. But God saw something significant in them. God chose them to work, and God chose to work through them to share the good news of Jesus' birth. Now, this may seem surprising, but God had a history of choosing people that no one else would. Two of God's most notable servants were Moses and David. They both didn't feel like they were gifted in many ways. They were often overlooked before God called them. And both of them were shepherds, but God chose them. God chose to work through them to carry out important work. And throughout the Bible, we see God choosing to work in and through people who are at the bottom of life. You know, the poor in particular are people that God has a special affection for. The poor also play a central role in Jesus' life and ministry. And Jesus understood his mission as one that would bring good news to the poor. He even bestowed blessings on the poor. Go back and read the Beatitudes. Jesus also said, "The poor you will always have with you." And I think that was his way of telling his followers that they should always be reaching out to the poor, that they should make this the central part of their ministry. But let's also not forget that the poor have a lot to share with us who are not poor. You know, it was through a group of poor shepherds that God announced the good news of Jesus' birth. And it was through those shepherds that the good news began to spread far and wide. It's important for us to remember this as we celebrate the birth of our Messiah, because God chose to send Jesus to save all people, from shepherds to kings and everyone in between. Jesus doesn't snub anyone because he came to break down the barriers that separate people from each other and the barriers that separate us from God. Now, the whole story of Jesus' birth is full of surprises. It's just the way God works. And God continues to work in this way. Now, have you ever seen God's grace and mercy at work in a person that you least expected? And have you ever read a scripture passage and had your eyes open to a new revelation that caused you to rethink something that you believe or to change the way you act? I suspect that we all have. You know, surprises like this happen. It's the way God works. But also think that we don't always handle surprises very well. When something unexpected happens, when we're startled or shocked by something that we see or read or hear, we may get angry, upset, defensive, or even fearful. But I want to encourage you, when that happens, to pay attention. Resist that urge to cast that thing off as unimportant or problematic or just plain wrong. God might be working in that moment to bring good news to you, or to work through you to bring good news to someone else. So I do encourage you to embrace surprises that come in life, because you may very well encounter God in those moments. And when the surprises do come, try to remember the words of the angel. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you do work in surprising and unexpected ways. We see this again and again in the story of Jesus' birth. And we know you continue to work like this. But we don't always welcome the surprises that come in our lives. We're prone to resist or reject them. But today we pray that we would live with more openness to the way you're working to bring good news to us. May we receive what you offer. And in response, may we live out your good news through our words and our deeds. Our world certainly needs more good news, so may it start with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band's going to lead us in some more music. And as we sing, I'll be in the back to receive anybody who would like to come back and share with me how you are responding to the work of God in your life. Or if you just want prayer, I'll be there to pray with you. But let's stand and continue our worship.